Some who are here with us visiting friends and family who are not normally with us, and so maybe that evens out, but we're glad to be together this evening and invite you now to study with us for a little while on the benefits of reading the Bible every year. We are at the end of one year and about to begin a new year, and I thought it might be a good time to recommend the practice of having some kind of a daily Bible reading program. There are many different programs like that that you could consider, many different ways that you could go about reading something out of the Bible every day. But I want to recommend to you tonight the great benefit that comes from reading the Bible as a whole ever so often, whether you do that every year or it takes you longer than a year to do that, we need to, from time to time, read all that's in God's Word. This passage that Marshall read just a moment ago in the first Psalm pronounces a blessing upon the person whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law he meditates day and night. We need to be people like that, who don't just find it a chore to deal with God's Word. We delight to do that, and we even enjoy thinking about it at times when we're not actually reading it. You probably have heard people in the community in general sometimes express amazement that members of the churches of Christ know so much about the Bible. I remember one time being occasionally on a call-in Bible radio program in Louisville, Kentucky, where we would just field questions that would be called in live and ask, and we'd occasionally have people that would call in just express amazement that you fellows just can talk about anything in the Bible. They're just amazed at how much the various people that would be on this program would know about the Bible. And the amazing thing about that was that almost all of the questions, just very basic Bible questions that almost anybody would know, rarely would there be a very difficult question. People are amazed sometimes when they find anybody who really even knows the ABCs of the Bible. We as a people may be above average in our knowledge of the Bible stories that we've heard since we were children. Many of us know a lot of Bible facts. We could play Bible trivia and win a lot of times. We certainly know a lot about various Bible doctrines. We've been used to discussing and maybe even debating Bible doctrine all our lives. But what about our overall knowledge of the text of the Bible itself? I believe it's possible to know a lot about Bible stories and Bible facts and Bible doctrines without really having a good overall grasp of the book of God as a whole. We may, even after many years, fall into the problem of the people in Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 12, where the writer said that some of his readers had been Christians long enough that they should have become teachers, but they still themselves were babes in Christ, needing to be fed on the milk of the Word. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, Paul wrote to the church there and said, "Brethren, I could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ, I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able." So sometimes, even after a passage of a great amount of time, we just find that we don't know as much about the Bible as a whole as we should. I believe one reason for that is many of us fail to read all of the Bible on any kind of a regular basis. We may need some sort of a plan for reading the Bible from cover to cover, I'd say at least once a year. I say that sometimes, and I get a shocked look on people's face, like it would stretch their imagination to think that you could read all of this, what seems to many people a very long book, in one year. But the truth is, ideally we'd read all of the Bible more than once a year. So I recommend at least once a year reading all of the Bible, recognizing that in some situations it might take somebody longer than a year to read it. But the basic point I want to make in the lesson tonight is that whether it takes you a year or less than a year or longer than a year, that occasionally we need to read everything that's in the Bible from cover to cover. I believe there are some great benefits that come from doing that, some things really that we lose if we don't familiarize ourselves with all of the contents of the Bible, if we're not careful in our Bible study, we can get so bogged down in the details of the text, looking at the individual trees, we lose sight of the whole forest. And without reading the Bible completely through on a regular basis, it's difficult to have an overall working knowledge of the book. So think about some things that you would gain if you did read the Bible as a whole, and then that you would lose if you didn't do that. For one thing, it's important to know the story of the Bible as a whole. I had the privilege of teaching Jeremy's class, the middle school class this morning, and they're studying the story of the Bible right now. And what a wonderful story that is, to just back up and look at the big picture. Well, it's hard to get that big picture if you don't read the whole book once in a while, as you would read any other book. To start at the beginning of it, read it all the way through until you get to the end. So I think many of us don't have as much of a grasp of the story as we ought to, because we've, in some cases, never read all of the Bible. And then the theme of the Bible, not only does it have a story or a plot, it has a theme, and that, of course, is the scheme of redemption, the plan of salvation, now, the idea that runs all the way through the story, and we certainly need to know the plan through which God brought salvation into the world, and we'll have a much better understanding of that if we'll read the book from start to finish in fairly short order. It's important to know the overall structure of the Bible, you know, how this book is put together. It's made up of a lot of different individual parts, and parts are very different from one another. And I believe it helps us in our understanding of the Bible to know how that it's put together. Certainly the different kinds of literature in the Bible. Not only are there many different books, the books are very different from one another. And it's important for us to know the books of history and the books of poetry and the books of prophecy and the Gospels and the Epistles and so forth. And we get a much better grasp of that when we read all of the Bible. We need to know how the sections of the Bible relate to one another, the various parts of the Bible. For example, there's the part of the Bible that has to do with the history of God bringing the plan of salvation into effect. And in their books of prophecy, need to know how those parts relate to one another, how the Gospels in the New Testament relate to the Epistles, how the book of Acts relates to the Epistles, and so forth. Well, that's much easier to do when we read the Bible as a whole. And then certainly how the Old Testament is related to the New Testament. If there's one thing that's really misunderstood in the religious world, it's probably that point of how the Old Testament is supposed to relate to the New Testament and the New Covenant. Well, we need to read both the Old Testament and the New Testament. We even need to have an understanding of how the different individual books relate to one another. For example, how does the book of Luke relate to the book of Acts? Well, that'd be a simple question to some people, but there'd be other people who really wouldn't be able to answer that question. Or how does Paul's letter to the church in Colossae relate to the little personal letter that he wrote to Philemon? They're closely related letters. Well, if we never just do anything but delve into the individual parts and don't read the whole Bible, we might not know the answer to those questions. It's important to know, I think, the basic history of the Bible. And by that I mean not just the history of the story of the Bible itself, but the historical background to the Bible. The backdrop of what was happening in the world while these events were taking place. And then, of course, the basic contents of each book. If you were to just start at Genesis, I'm going to assume here you know the books of the Bible in their order, but if you started at Genesis, and we're going to go all the way through to Revelation, could you tell me not only all of those books in order, but just give me just a really basic summary of what's in each of those books? I mean, not in any great detail, but just tell me what Genesis is about and what Exodus is about and go all the way through the Bible. You've heard me talk about my good buddy Gary Sandusky up in Madison, Indiana, where he preaches. One time they were going to embark on one of these congregational 3-year plans to study the whole Bible with all the classes studying it together. And before they started this great plan to study all the Bible as a congregation, they said, Brother Sandusky, could you in one lesson just go through the Bible and give us a, you know, just a quick summary of everything that's in every chapter of the Bible? Well, he said, I'll certainly do that. So he knew it would be a little bit longer lesson than usual, but he determined what would be a reasonable amount of time to try to do that, and he just divided that into how many chapters there are in the Bible and determined how many seconds he would have on each chapter. And he started in Genesis 1, and he knows the Bible well enough, he could have done that without ever opening his Bible. And just went through and summarized very quickly and briefly, and you'd have to really know it to summarize it that quickly, what was in every chapter. Well, we may not be to that point, I'm not to that point, but we ought at least to be able to go through the books of the Bible and to say what's basically in each one. And then certainly the larger context of the Bible as a whole. When we study individual passages of Scripture, we always talk about the importance of context. You don't want to just pull a verse out and study it. You want to see it in its context. Well, there are bigger and bigger contexts. And the biggest one is the Bible as a whole. And it's wonderful when you're studying a particular verse, if you had the ability to back up and see that in the chapter that it appears in, and then in the book that it appears in, and then whether it's in the Old Testament or the New Testament, and finally to see that individual statement in terms of the big context of the Bible as a whole. And then I suggest that the longer you study the Bible, if you study the whole thing, eventually you get kind of a framework in your mind that gives you some pegs, I call them, to hang individual bits and pieces of information, and even the verses that you've memorized from the Bible. It's hard to learn just information that's out there in thin air that doesn't relate to anything. If you got some kind of a mental framework or a closet, you know, where there are pegs and things that you can hang things on, then you can hang this bit of information over here and you see how this relates to that, and it makes it much easier to remember the things that we need to remember if we've studied the whole Bible. But certainly, the most important thing is that we need to have the ability to use the Bible in everyday situations. And really can't do that in any kind of a capable way unless we have studied the Bible as a whole. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 16, Paul talks about the being able to use the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Well, we need to have enough facility with this book that we can take it and use it to help anybody with any problem that comes up. You need to know this book as a whole well enough that when your next door neighbor has a problem that they come to you with, you'll know where in this book to go to give them the help that they need. You won't know just a part of this Bible, you'll know the whole thing, and you'll know where to go to give them exactly the help that they need from this sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In 2 Timothy 2 and 15, he says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, but rightly dividing or handling accurately, handling aright the word of truth. We need to learn how to handle this book correctly, to use it responsibly. And we'll be better able to do that if we know the book as a whole. So there's a need, I think, for us not just to read the whole Bible, but for us to read it again and again and again as long as we live. Where I preached in Indiana before I moved here several years ago, I preached this particular lesson at the end of 1 year, and the congregation up there was very different from Broadmoor. I won't elaborate on how it was different, but it was very different in terms of educational level and those kinds of things. And so it was just a very radical idea to many of them to even read a book, period, whereas the Bible or something else. But I got many of them to subscribe to the idea that we're going to read the Bible all together this year. And so we did that. Several in the congregation did it who had never done it before. And we got to the end of the year. I just assumed that they would be eager to start the process all over again. Come to find out, many of them just thought, whew, boy, we got that done. I'm glad that doesn't ever have to be done ever again. like they had gotten over a hill that they never thought they could get over. And once you've done it, you just never need to do that again. Well, what I'm recommending tonight is not just reading the Bible, but when you finish reading the Bible, the next day start over and read it end to end, over and over, as long as you live or until the Lord comes back, whichever happens first. There's a lot of value in patient repetition of something. Just again and again and again. Many of you know I have a long-haired cat named Banjo. And she is a fur factory. And to keep the fur from just flying all through the air and accumulating in every corner and crevice, I have to brush her fairly regularly. And to keep her from getting mats in her long, luscious locks, she has to be brushed and brushed and just patiently brushed and brushed and brushed. Well, you know, just brush her today and then forget about it for another year. It takes patient repetition. And it's the same way with the Bible. You won't get the kinks out of your knowledge of the Bible without patiently brushing it and brushing it and brushing it over and over again. And that way, you will come to learn the location and the context of key passages. You'll know where they are in the Bible, and you know how they're connected to their surrounding context. And also, you'll be able to hold on to your memory work. One reason it gets away from us is that we don't refresh those memory banks by going over and over and over God's Word. In Jewish synagogues, even today, at least Orthodox synagogues, where the Pentateuch is still studied every year, there is a portion of the Pentateuch that is read on every Sabbath. It's divided down over the course of a year. And you know what they do after the last Sabbath of the year? They start over the next Sabbath right back where they were that time last year, and they go through it again and again and again and will. I suppose as long as the world stands, well, there's a lot of value to just going over something and over it and over it. So, what about it? Let me make some suggestions. If you think it'd be a good idea to read all of the Bible and maybe even to read it on a repeated basis, let me make some suggestions about that. For one thing, it's going to take some commitment and some sacrifice on your part to get it done. If you haven't been making room for that in your schedule, it's going to be hard to get that practice ingrained in your life. Very much in tune with the point we tried to make this morning about discipline. Daily Bible reading is a discipline. It's a matter of training. It's a matter of making a commitment to do it and then teaching yourself to do it every day. But if you haven't done it, or if you haven't done it for a long, long time, you're going to find it hard to get back into the habit and stay with the habit. So it's not going to happen unless you make a serious commitment to it, and unless you're willing to leave off some things that you've been doing that have been occupying that space. Your life is already full. There are not any empty spaces in it, I'm sure. And so if you're going to put something new in there that hasn't been there, something else is going to have to come out. And whatever it is going to have to be sacrificed. I find that it is usually best to have a set time every day to do your Bible reading. Now, I know that recommendation needs to come with all kind of qualifications. All of us are busier than we ever have been, and our lives are not only busy, they are busy in a scattered, helter-skelter kind of a way. And the thought of doing anything at the same time, 7 days a week, seems almost impossible. You may not be able to hold to that every single day, but I would recommend that you'll come nearer learning the discipline of daily Bible reading if you will find some time, not just when is the time you could work that in and won't interfere with anything else, but when would be the optimal time to do that and get the most benefit out of it, that probably being as important as anything else you're going to do that day, make the commitment to it, and then sacrifice anything else. Move anything else out of the way. If anything else tries to occupy that space, sacrifice it. Give your daily Bible reading that priority. I don't know for you whether it be first thing in the morning or at the end of the day, or at lunch, or whatever. That would vary greatly depending on our individual schedules. But I think you'll find some value in finding some time that you will devote to the Lord every day, and have that as a set time of your daily Bible reading. There are a lot of different plans available, schedules that would break the Bible down into daily readings. I have run off copies of the one that I use and have used for many, many years. There are copies of it out on the shelf in the foyer. This is a 7 day a week daily Bible reading program. You would start January 1st and read Genesis chapters 1 and 2. And then the last day of the year, you're going to read Revelation 20 through 22. I set it up so that you can cut these out. You can cut out each month, and it kind of can be a bookmark. We just put that in your Bible, and that's where you know where your reading is, because that's where your bookmark is, and then you change those each month. There are other kinds of plans out there. I have a running argument with my good friend Mark Roberts, who preaches down at Westside in Irving, Texas every year. He has a Monday through Friday Bible reading program that he recommends that gets through the whole Bible every year, but if you only read 5 days a week, you've got to read more on those 5 days. And he said, Gary, people need weekends off. So give people a break. And I said, no, there's some things you don't take a break from, and studying God's Word is one of them. So every year, Mark and I have this argument about whether you have a 7 day program or a 5 day program. You take your pick. I'm just recommending that you read all of the Bible every year, recommending also that I think 7 days a week is better. There's anything that's important to do every day that you live, it would be feeding your mind on God's Word. Whether you read 5 days a week or 7 days a week or 3 days a week or whatever, there are all different ways you could divide it up. You might disagree with my plan. You might say, well, why did he divide it there? It seems like that's in the middle of two chapters that need to go together. Well, there are all different ways you could slice it and dice it. This is just the one that I've used for many years, and it's free for your taking out there. If you can find a better one, then you're certainly welcome to do that. What about when you miss a day? It's going to happen, despite the fact that you say you're going to try to keep it from happening. You're going to miss a day. You might have to be in the hospital and have bypass surgery, and you're unconscious for a day or two, and so you can't read. Well, what do you do then? A lot of people start out on January 1st with a daily Bible reading program, and they only make it until about January 16th. And they've missed a couple of days, and then they worry about, what do I do now when I get back to it? Do I have to go back and make up the readings that I have missed? And so then they get this great backlog, and it becomes so much that they just give up. Well, all different things that you can do. If you miss a day, you could just skip those readings and then pick back up with the reading for the day that you resume. Or you could just forget the days of the calendar and you could just go through those readings and cross them off as you do them. If you miss a day, then you just pick up the next reading so that you read all of the Bible, but it might take you more than a year to do it. There are advantages to doing it all different ways. Curtis and I were talking just the other night about the relative advantages. Curtis is a big advocate of reading the Bible every day, whether you read all the Bible or not. Read something from the Bible every day. I'm a big advocate of reading all of the Bible. Whether you read it in a year, or it takes you 5 years, or whatever, I say there's some value in reading all of the Bible on some kind of a regular basis. But there also is a great deal of value of reading every day, even if it's just one verse. I was thinking this afternoon as I was looking over these notes about a comment that I heard James R. Cope make many years ago when he reminisced about coming in very, very late one Friday night, long past curfew in the old farmhouse where he grew up here, somewhere here in Tennessee. All of the lights were out. He sneaked in thinking maybe his parents were already asleep. He sneaked upstairs to his bedroom and got in bed as quietly as he could and just was about to doze off to sleep. And his mother from downstairs said, Jim, have you read your Bible reading yet? He had to get up and read his Bible before he went to sleep. Well, his mother knew that whatever else he had done or not done that day, coming in late and being tired or not, if he hadn't read his Bible, he needed to do that before he went to bed. Well, it's going to take that kind of a discipline. So if you fall behind, I'll leave it to your wisdom to know what to do to get back on track, but don't give up. Don't give up. Keeping going in any kind of way is better than giving up. Above all, I would recommend that you couple your Bible reading with prayer. Prayer for an honest, obedient attitude, for understanding of the text. The psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 18 said, "Open my eyes that I may see wondrous things out of your law." And then for help in using what we know to serve others. We don't just study the Bible as an intellectual exercise. We study it to be able to use this wonderful resource, not just for our own benefit, but in serving for others. And prayer will assist greatly in all three of those things. Certainly, just a daily Bible reading program is no substitute for intensive, in-depth study of certain parts of the Bible, and I'm not recommending that. What I am saying is that daily Bible reading is a starting point. It's a foundation upon which, then, our more detailed study of certain books of the Bible is going to be able to build. I find it difficult these days in trying to teach intensive, in-depth studies of certain books of the Bible to be trying to teach people who don't have that basic working knowledge of the Bible as a whole already. And you can't go back almost and relay that foundation if it's not there. And I'm not suggesting that all you need to do is just have a daily Bible reading and that's it. That's the first thing you need to do. That's the foundation on which you will need to study the Bible in other kinds of ways. And it's never too early to begin. I don't care how young you are. It's a good idea to get in the habit as early as you can in life of reading the Bible every day and of reading all of the Bible as often as you can. Paul said to his young friend Timothy, "You must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." We need to be a people of the book, don't we? This book needs to be the thing that we are known for. This is God's truth. This is the standard to which we call people. And we need to be known as a people of the book. If that's what people know us by, that's a high compliment. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, Peter talked about newborn babes desiring the pure, the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Psalm 119, 105, God's word is described as the light that guides us. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And then, of course, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, Paul recommends the great value and benefit that comes from the Scriptures. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. See that word? It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So, I hope you'll think about that. I don't know what your plans are, what New Year's resolutions you've got for January 1st, but it's going to be here pretty quickly. And I don't know of any better plan you could make for the coming year than to say, "I plan to read the whole Bible before this time next year." I believe there'd be great benefits that would come if you'd not just do that, but do that this next year, and then if the world stands, do it again every year after that. You'll find yourself loving God's Word a lot more if you become a lot more familiar with it. It really is true with respect to the Scriptures that the proof is in the pudding. That you'll find the goodness of it by tasting it, by becoming very, very familiar with it. You'll love it more every time you read it. I'm going to sing a song that has been announced now to conclude this lesson, an invitation song, if you will. I hope that will serve as a motivation if you're here and you need to respond to the invitation for you to do it tonight before you leave this assembly. If we can assist you in taking some step that you've learned from the Scriptures you know you need to take in order to be in a right relationship with the Lord, then We're here to help you and encourage you, and we hope you'll let us know how we can help you while we stand and sing the invitation song.